Says the Gemara, we're on the first wide line. Just before we start the new Gemara, we wanted to see a Tosfos, the second last Tosfos on the Omud. Toamoi Pagmoi. This we saw yesterday when Tosfos said, the Gemara said, that if you are Toyim from a Kois, if you taste from a Kois, you cannot now use that Kois afterwards for Kiddush or Havdalah. This is the famous halacha of Pogum. Once it is pogum, it cannot now be used anymore for Kiddush or for Havdalah. Says the Tosfos, Tamu Pogmoi. Pirish Rashbam, the Dafka le Kiddush or le Havdalah, Sorech Shaloi Yehei Pogum. It's only with regard to Kiddush and Havdalah, that's when we are makbid, it should not be pogum. Aval Lishtois, but with regard to drinking a cup of wine which has previously been drunk from, nobody's going to tell you that you don't need to make a bracha on it. Of course, tzorich levarech olav afal pi shehu pogum. You might not be allowed to make kiddush or havdalah from it because it's not covered for the mitzvah to use a kois that has previously been drunk. But at the end of the day, if you do want to drink from it, not to make Kiddush and Avdala, then normal rules apply. You've got to make a bracha. The Osur Lehonois Min Ha'olam Hazeh B'lo'i Bracha. Because we have a famous principle. You can never have benefit from Olam Hazeh without first making a bracha. So if I can't eat an apple without making a bracha, and I can't drink a cup of water, then so too I can't drink a cup of wine without making a bracha, albeit it's not the most mechubad cup of wine in the world because it's previously been drunk from, but nonetheless you cannot get benefit without making a bracha. Says Tosfos, v'kiddush v'havdalah nami loy omron. Even kiddush and havdalah, where we said you should not be making over this kois pogum, loy omron, that was only ever said ela b'mokoyim de efshar, only in a place where it's possible to find a different cup. There are alternatives. Avol e efshar, but if it really is impossible, what does that mean? It's impossible, meaning there is no alternative, and the only wine that you have available is pogum. And mavorich, you can make a bracha afilu a pogum. This is a very, very important Tosfos that Tosfos is telling us that the halacha of pogum, as important as it is only a din lechatchila. But b'di'eved, if a person has no other kois, then even on a kois pogum, he can still make kiddush and havdalah. What would be the eitzah? The noisain l'teichoy mayim. And you would put mayim into the wine to try and be masakin it, to fix it up. Kadisa Birushalmi, as appears in the Gemara Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yonah Toim Akasa. Rabbi Yonah tasted from a kois, meaning he had a small sip, so now the wine is pogum. Umitkin lay, but he was masakin it. How did he fix it up? Pirush Laachar Sheshosa Mimenu. After he had drunk a little bit from it, hoisif olav kol shehu mayim, he added a little bit of water, or yayin, or a little bit of wine, and then v'hoyim mevarech olav, and then he would make a bracha over it. So pogum is never a situation where you are absolutely stuck, but b'di'eved you can make a kiddush and havdalah even on a kois pogum. Lechatchila, you should first be masakin it. Okay, with that, we now move on to the new sugya. We're now moving on to the halachas of Tumah v'Tahara. First wide line. Beis Shammai Oimrim. This was a discussion in the Mishnah. What should you first do? Should you wash your hands and then pour the wine in the beginning of the meal? Or should you pour the wine and then wash your hands? Why would there be a difference? The Gemara explains. Beis Shammai Oimrim v'chulei Tana Rabbanon. Beis Shammai Oimrim noitlin leyodayim V'achar kach moizgin es hakois. Beis Shammai maintains that you should first wash your hands, and then you should pour the kois. That order. You should first wash your hands, and then... Correct. And then you should pour the wine. Why? Because if you're going to say that you should reverse the order, and at moizginas hakois tchilo, if you're first going to pour the wine and only then wash your hands, which means at the time that you pour your wine, your hands are still tmeois, then there's a gezeira. We have to be concerned. Shema yitamu mashkin she'achorei hakois. Your hands might now be matame, the mashkin, which is on the back of the cup, meaning not on the inside of the cup, but let's say dribbling over the walls of the cup. In a minute, we'll explain why this should be. Shema yitamu mashkin she'achorei hakois machmas yodov, as a result of his hands, meaning as a result of his hands not yet having been washed. V'yachzeru v'yitamu es hakois, and then those mashkin, which are on the back of the cup, which you have just been metame by touching them with your hands, will in turn be metame the kois. So this needs a lot of explanation, and there is a lot of explanation coming up in a second. But it's a two-stage process. Beis Shammai is concerned that maybe your hands, which have not yet been washed, and therefore are still tummy, will touch the mashkin on the outside of the cup and be metame then. Stage one. Stage two is that in turn, those mashkin will now be metame, the actual cup.
Not necessarily the contents inside the cup.
We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Let's just read one more line and then we'll try, Bez Hashem, to explain this. V'litmu'u yodayim l'kois? Question mark. Why are you telling me that it's a two-stage process? Why can't it just simply be a one-stage process? Why don't we simply say that if your hands are still tame, they will be metame the kois? Why must you say in two stages? Why do you have to say that your hands will be metame the mashkin, and then the mashkin will be metame the kois? Why can't you simply say velitmu yodaim lekois? Question mark. The answer is yodaim shniois hein, ve'ein sheni oise shlishi b'chulin elo aledei mashkin. So let's, I think, do a bit of explaining over here, because whenever we learn together halachas of Tumah v'Tahara, invariably it comes up here and there. We have to lay down one or two very, very important ground rules. We all know the most tame item you can find is a dead body. That's called avi avois hatumah. If you touch that, you're an av tumah. Whoever touches that is a rishon l'tumah, sheni l'tumah, shlishi, revi, etc., etc., etc. So basically, it goes in progression. Now, the halacha is essentially, if you have something which is a rishon l'tumah, a rishon l'tumah, so the rishon l'tumah, if it touches something else, then the something else will become a sheni l'tumah. Right? A rishon makes a sheni makes a shlishi, etc., etc., etc. But not everything can become a sheni l'tumah. As we're going to see, an Odom and a Keli. An Odom and a Keli cannot become anything less than a Rishon L'Tumah. I'm just trying to look. Rashi did bring it over here. One second. If you look in the very bottom Rashi of the Omud, I know we're jumping a little bit, but this is where Rashi lays down the ground rule. The very last Rashi on the Omud, Achir of Tumein, which is even based on the Gemara that we haven't even learned yet, but Rashi says, Af Alpi, She'ein Odom Vekelim, neither people nor vessels. Rashi did not mention food. People or vessels, Ein Odom Vekelim, Mekablim Tuma Min Hatoiro, Elo Me'av Hatuma, comma. An Av Hatuma Min Hatoiro, Min Hatoiro, an Av Hatuma. That's not the Avi Avois, the Av HaTumah, the one who touched the dead body. If the Av HaTumah touches an Odom or touches a Keli, then the Odom and the Keli will become Tomei. Which Tomei will they become? Which Tumah? They'll become a Rishon L'Tumah. But they can only be Mekabel Tumah from an Av HaTumah. Anybody who is lower down the ladder than an Av HaTumah, meaning, if somebody is a Rishon L'Tumah and he now touches another person or touches another Kli, then Min HaTorah, that other person or the Kli, do not become Tomei. Why not? Because Min HaTorah, a person or a Kli, cannot become a Sheini L'Tumah.
Why aren't they maintained solely as a Rishon?
Why the what?
Why, in other words, if you have a Rishon who's touching a person, why could, instead of going down a level, why can't it be maintained at that level as a Rishon?
Because Min HaTorah, except for one exception, Min HaTorah, Tumah always gets downgraded each time it's transmitted to someone else.
Okay.
Min HaTorah. So if an Ava via voice, makes an Av makes a Rishon makes a Sheni makes a Shlishi. But a person or a Keli cannot become a Sheni. Certainly they can't become a Shlishi and they can't become a Ravi, etc., etc., etc. By the way, foods can become a Sheni. Truma can become a Shlishi. Kodshim, Karbonis, can become a Ravi. A Pora Aduma can become a Chamishi. So the holier something is, the more susceptible it is to Tumah. But either way, Min HaTorah, an Odom or a Keli cannot become a Sheni L'Tumah, which is another way of saying that if they are touched by a Rishon L'Tumah, nothing has happened. The only way an Odom or a Keli can become Tomei is if they are in contact with somebody higher up than a Rishon, i.e. an Av HaTumah. So if the Av HaTumah, who is the Av HaTumah? The Av is the one who touched the dead body. If the Av HaTumah now touches an Odom or a Keli, the Odom or a Keli will become a Rishon L'Tumah. That's Min HaTorah. Now carry on that Rashi. Gozru Chachomim. There is a Gezerah only midrabbanan. Min HaTorah, we've just stated the rule. Midrabonon Chazal Goize Shehiu Mashkin Metamim Kalim. But if a mashke touches a kli, it'll make it tummy. Period.
If the mashke is tummy.
Any mashke.
Any mashke? You mean it makes it susceptible to tumor. Doesn't make it tumor, right?
If the mashke is tummy,
right,
it will be metame the keli, even though the mashke itself was not necessarily an av hatumah. We just said that min ha-toira, you can only be metame a keli if you are an av hatumah, but not a risha, certainly not a sheni. But mashke is the exception, midrabonon. If a mashke is tome, it'll be metame the keli midrabonon. Why? Says Rashi, mipnei shemotzinu mashke shehu av hatumah. Because there is one mashke that's an av hatumah. How can a mashke be an av hatumah? I mean, I guess in theory, mashke could touch the dead body, but that's unlikely.
Well, like dam. What about dam?
Yeah, so let's, for the moment, talk about edibles. So how will a mashke in the normal case, how will a mashke become tummy? How will your cup of water become tummy? In the regular case, there was a dead body that touched somebody else, and that somebody else, Reuven, now becomes an av hatumah. Reuven then touches the mashke, so the mashke becomes a rishon. So now, min ha-toira, as we just explained, that mashke having become a rishon l'tumah, if it touches a kli, nothing will happen to the kli. Because a kli cannot become a sheni l'tumah. Therefore, the kli does not become tami. Says Rashi, that's true, that's min ha-toira. But midrabanon, we always consider a mashke as if it was an av hatumah, not a rishon. Even if it's really a rishon, and therefore min ha-toirah cannot transmit tumah to a kli, but we will always consider the mashke as if, we'll pretend as if it is an av hatumah. Why? Says Rashi again. Because we have found one example of a mashke which is an av hatumah, letame odom vekelim in hatayra, which therefore does have the ability to metame other people or kelim in hatayra. What is that? Kegoin zoivoy shel zov. If you have somebody who's a zov is not avi avois hatuma. It's an av hatuma. What about any liquid that comes, any fluid that is emitted from his guf? Whether it's his saliva, or his meiraglayim, whatever it may be, the halacha is, special chidush, that the fluid that emerges from the body of a zov is also an av hatumah. That's a big chidush. The zov is an av hatumah. I would expect it, therefore, the mashke, which comes from his guf, to be downgraded, to be a rishon, but no, it's not. It's also an av hatumah.
Maybe it's considered, maybe they were gozer that because of the fact that before it was emitted from his body, it was part of his body.
1 second. The fluid that comes from a zov is not a gzera, that's min ha-toira.
Okay.
The fluid that comes from the guf of the zov, like you said, maybe that's the reason, because we consider it part and parcel of the guf of the zov, We don't view it as something that the zov touched. He didn't transmit tumah, mm-hmm. Right? If I were to ask you a question, a zov is tummy. So why is the foot, why is Azov's foot tummy? Are we going to say because tumma got transmitted to his foot? No, because his foot is part of his guf. And if it's part of his guf, and the Torah said Azov is tummy, then by definition, the leg is also tummy. So too the fluids in his guf, even though it's not one of his limbs, but we consider that also part of his guf, and that will therefore become an avat tumah. Therefore, says Rashi in conclusion, gozru al kol hamashkin tumein, any mashke which is tome, albeit the mashke technically is only a rishon, shouldn't really be able to be matame a keli, at least it doesn't mean a teira. Nonetheless, we are gozer midrabonon sheyitmu kelim, that they do make other kelim tome. So this is the famous rule. Again, this has to be clear. If this is not clear, then the whole sugya will be unclear. Again, a regular mashke that became tummy. How did it become tummy? It touched someone who touched the dead body. Reuven is the dead body. Shimon touched Reuven, and Shimon now becomes an av hatuma. Shimon now touched Mashkin, the Mashkin becomes a Rishon Latuma. According to the rules of the Torah, that Mashke, which is a Rishon Latuma, should not have the capability to be Metamei a Kli. Because as we said before, a Kli cannot become a Sheni. Nonetheless, Midrabonon, we will treat this Mashke as if it is an Av HaTuma. It's not an Av HaTuma. It touched an Ava Tumah, therefore really it's a Rishon. Why am I treating it, Midrabonon, as if it's an Ava Tumah? The answer is because there is the common case of the fluid that emerges from the body of a Zov, that Mashke really is an Ava Tumah. If the saliva of a Zov touched a Kli, obviously the Kli would become Tomei Min HaTorah, because the saliva coming from the goof of the Zov is a Av HaTuma, and the Kli would therefore become a Rishon. We therefore consider all Mashkin Tumeim, we consider them as if they were an Av HaTuma. They are not an Av HaTuma Min HaTeira. We consider Midrabonon as if they were, such that if they now touch a Kli, the Kli will become Tomei Midrabonon. That is introduction number one.
But may I ask, a person who touches a dead body becomes an afatuma. Why not a rishon? I thought once everything goes down a level.
It does. The dead body is not an avatuma. The dead body is called avi avois. Avi avois atuma. It's like the grandfather.
I see.
He's the tummy object that we know, avi avois. Avi avois. It's a double whammy tumma. The person who touches him is now downgraded to an av hatumma. Whatever he touches is downgraded to a rishon hatumma. A rishon hatumma cannot make a kli into a sheni, but if it's a liquid, we will consider the liquid as if. It's not really, but it's as if it were an Av HaTuma. Why do we consider it as if it's an Av HaTuma? Similar to the liquids coming out of the goof of a Zov. Now, if you come back to our sugya, there is a takana, a mitzvah b'drabonon called Netilas Yadayim. Netilas Yadayim. You have to wash your hands before you eat a bread-based meal. We consider as if a person's hands are tummy. They're tummy. Which tumma do we consider a person's hands? Meaning, if a person would tell you, excuse me, I haven't touched any dead bodies. I haven't entered a building with a dead body. Why are you telling me my hands are tummy? And the answer is because this is the mitzvah midrabbanon. The mitzvah midrabbanon is you always have to wash before you eat your bread-based meal because it's daimit a truma, etc., 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 for reasons we're not going to get involved for the moment. The bottom line is, Chazal HaKadoshim, consider your hands to be tummy. They're not necessarily tummy, but we consider them to be tummy. If that's the case, now let's make the following cheshbon. You're about to pick up your cup of wine. The cup of wine has wine on the inside, obviously, and may well have a bit of excess wine that's spilt over the sides. So some of it is on the wall, on the outside wall of the cup as well. If you have not yet washed your hands, so your hands are still considered to be tummy. Like we said, not absolutely tummy, but tummy midrabbanan. If you now grab hold of your cup, and on the outside of the cup, there's a bit of mashkin, meaning a bit of wine, your hands will now be metame that mashkin. What did we just say a minute ago? Mashkin, once they become tame, are always considered, quote unquote, as if they are an av hatumah, which means that they now in turn will be metame the cup. How can they be metame the cup if they themselves are not an av hatumah? And the answer is because we consider as if they were. Why do we consider as if they were? For reasons we explained before, because a zov, the liquids that come out of his guf, are an av hatumah, and therefore we consider all liquids to be an av hatumah. Now, if you want to know why we coming up with such a long, far-fetched gezeira, two stages, the hands touch the liquids and the liquid touch the kois. Why do we have to go in two stages? Why can't we just say that if you haven't washed your hands and your hands are tame, well, when you pick up the cup, you'll be metame the cup? Why do we have to make it in two stages? Why must we say you'll be metame the mashkin and the mashkin will be metame the cup? The answer is we now understand. Because we said before, a cup never becomes tame unless it touched an av hatumah. My hands, when Chazal made a gezeira that I've got to do Metilas Yadayim, they did not consider my hands to be an av hatumah. And if my hands are not an av hatumah, they cannot be metame the kois. What they can do, however, is be metame the mashkin. And mashkin, like we said before, always gets a tumah upgrade, is always considered to be an av hatumah. So the mashkin, not my hands, the mashkin will be able to be metame the cup. Therefore, says Beis Shammai, I would much prefer that you first wash your hands and then you pour the cup of wine. Because if you pour the cup of wine, but yet have not yet washed your hands, then as you're pouring the cup of wine, wine will spill and go on the outside and you'll touch the wine and the wine will metame the whole cup. Have a look at Rashi. Halfway up the Omid, Gezeira Shema Yetamu Mashkin.
Yep.
Gezeira Shema Yetamu Mashkin Shenoflu. We're talking about Mashkin that have fallen Ba'achoyre Hakois. They have fallen on the back of the cup. And they will become Tomei Machmas Yodayim as a result of your hands, which are as yet unwashed and therefore still tummy.
Another, this is another case of getting rid of that period and going straight through from the Divrei HaMaskal up to the text of the Rashi.
Correct. You've got to read it all in one breath. Gezeira Shemo yitamu mashkin shenofru b'achir yakois machmas yodayim. Ditznan, because we've learned in the Mishnah, it's a Mishnah Poro. Kol ha-poiseil es ha-trumo metame mashkin liyois tchilo. Anything that's tummy enough to metame trumo will certainly be tummy enough to make the mashkin liyois tchilo. What does it mean, liyois tchilo? It will make the mashkin as if they were a risha in latuma. A tchilo means a beginning. The mashkin will be considered to be a risha in latuma, stage one. The yachzuru the yitamu es hakois. And now the mashkin will go and be metame the kois. Now, we understand why it's a two-stage process, therefore. My hands cannot be metame the kois. But the mashkin on the outside can be metame the kois. What we haven't asked is the big question of them all. So what if the kois becomes tummy? Here we're sitting for half an hour explaining that maybe the hands be metame the mashkin, and the mashkin metame the kois, and so what? So what if the kois becomes tummy? Is there an issa to make kiddush or drink a cup of wine which is tummy? We're not talking about a kohen over here or in the Beis Hamikdash or Truma. To a regular person on a Wednesday morning, what on earth is the problem if his cup is tummy? Which issa is that? Says Rashi, Ube Shammai Sovri, Be Shammai is of the opinion, Osur Lehishtamesh Bekois, it is forbidden to use a cup, She'achoyrov Tameyois, the back of which is tummy. Why? Kedele come on, for reasons that we'll explain later. So like we always point out, whenever Rashi refers us to a later Gemara, it means, yes, it's a good question. The explanation is coming up. So Rashi is pointing out the question and saying, it mustn't become tome. Why must it not become tome? Reasons to be explained later on. But at least now we do understand. That's why Beis Shammai says you should first wash your hands and then pour the cup. Because if you reverse it,
So when Rashi says liyos tchila, then we turn around and use the gezerah to say that instead of a tchila, it's really going to be an avatuma, the mashkin.
No, a tchila means an avatuma.
I thought you said tchila means rishon latuma.
Oh, sorry, I didn't say it right then. I'm sorry, apologies. Liyos tchila means an avatuma. Sorry, quite right.
Okay.
Yeah, we will consider them to be a tchila, meaning the beginning of the line, i.e. an avatuma. They're not really an avatuma, but we will consider them to be an avatuma, like we said, it's a gzeir because of a zov, and if it's an avatuma, then it can really be metame the cup.
Okay.
We have to hold it here. It's a little bit of a complicated Gemara, but Mr. Hashem, next time we'll continue. Sunday, Mr. Hashem.
Okay, now one other thing. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, is a double bar mitzvah reception at the Gra for the Notice twins. Two twins, Kohanim, they dachen by us. Notice, Sroli Notice's sons.
Not there in my time.
No, they weren't in your time. They're recent. But anyway, so tomorrow night at 7:30 in the Gras Social Hall, there is in the Simcha Hall downstairs, there's going to be.